with you in Matthew's Gospel, tonight, Matthew chapter 9. The key word that I want to look at tonight, not surprisingly, is a word you've heard already a number of times, and it is the word power. Actually, the Bible word that was the word in which it was originally written has the idea of power. It has the idea of authority to execute that power, the idea of capability. With God, that power is inherent. With man, God can delegate that power. We are talking tonight about a unique person in the entire universe. And what we are reminded of from Isaiah chapter 9 is this: he is both man and God. He is the child born. He is the son given. And I want you to listen to the words of a living man who was dead. It did not happen, these words did not come on the same day as his resurrection. But it is the expression of a resurrected man who says, "All power is given unto me." A man in whom all power, the entire power and capability of God is invested in one man. He is the man we're preaching tonight. But I want you to listen to what he said. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." Those disciples were to go with the awareness that they had all the power of a risen Christ behind them when they spoke. Good for them. Amazing, they began to preach Jesus and the resurrection. What tremendous results came from that. Oh, but just a minute, I didn't tell you the whole verse. He said, "Go ye therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, and the end of the age hasn't come yet." I want to tell you tonight that Jesus of Nazareth is present with us. The one who has all power is present. Not visible, but his power is present. He himself said, "I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the age." If you sat here tonight recognizing that the all-powerful Jesus is present in this meeting, I have a suspicion it might affect me, and it might affect you. I want to read his word, or the word concerning him, in Matthew chapter 9, and we will begin our reading at verse 1. "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a sick man, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith," I think that's tremendous. This account is given in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and each of them have that expression, "seeing their faith," said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, notice, within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They were wrong. He had given such power unto one man. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So I want to talk to you tonight about forgiveness. And first of all, to emphasize to you the priority of forgiveness. This man's a paralyzed man. And if you'll allow me just to approach it from this standpoint, I have a bit of acquaintance with what paralysis means. Paralysis is a tremendously complex disease. Not only are the muscles not able to be used, but it complicates the operation of the whole body. And so this man is lowered into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if this man could be healed? And they brought him to a man who has power over diseases. And so what does the Lord Jesus do? He says, "Son, be of good cheer. Your paralysis is healed?" No. The more important thing, the matter of first importance, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. I want you to know tonight, as extreme as I understand paralysis to be, there is nothing more important in this world than knowing the forgiveness of sins. Those in the meeting tonight who know that, who are sure their sins are forgiven, are saying in their hearts, "Well, I can't read your heart, but I just know this. Yes, thank God. This is the most important thing, and I am thankful to God that there was ever a time in my life when I received the forgiveness of sin." It is the priority. Why the priority? Let me just ask you to think with me further. You are in the presence of this man this evening. Are we clear on that? Did you notice the emphasis in the reading? He perceived their thoughts. Do you know tonight, as you sit here, he doesn't have any trouble knowing my thoughts at the same time he knows your thoughts. We are in the living presence of a man who knows everything that's going through your mind at the present moment. Who knows everything that at the present moment he knows everything that has gone through your mind all day today. And I can extend that to your entire lifetime. Every thought, not talking about the deeds, every thought is all in the open before this man. My friend, someday you will face him who knows every thought that has ever coursed through your mind. You got the picture of a little boy that's telling his mother a lie. Probably doesn't happen in your home, but it has happened in some homes. And the mother or the father does their best to try to set up what's contradictory and all this. And what a tremendous difference if you are in the presence of a person, a man who knows everything you're thinking, who knows everything you've said. Absolutely all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. My soul in the meeting tonight, your sin mounts as a tremendous problem. It ought to be the priority in every heart, in every life. God knows every sin that I have ever committed. Others have no idea, but it's fully known to God. Listen, if I knew... No, I'll put the shoe on the other foot. If you knew everything about me, I would be embarrassed. But really, isn't there a tremendous difference between other people knowing everything about me and God knowing everything about me? You have your standards, and by your standards, I would be embarrassed. Your standard and God's standard don't parallel. The holy, righteous God, everything that these people, everything that anyone, everything that everyone in this meeting tonight is thinking, is plainly before his face, before his eyes. The priority of forgiveness. But let me go further than that. I want you to know tonight that it is of utmost importance to you that the man who can forgive sin is here and ready to forgive sin. That's the priority. But why put this great matter, this weighty matter, off for another time? There is one tonight who has the power, the authority, the capability to forgive every sin. Available now. The man is lowered in front of him, and there's no long dialogue. There's not a word from the man, as far as we can tell. Son, be of good cheer. Got the best news possible for you. Your sins are forgiven. I editorialized that a little bit. But maybe I'll add one more capability of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus speaks about the Father having life in himself and giving the Son to have life in himself. And he has committed all judgment to him because he is the Son of Man. All judgment is committed to this living Christ. This man that you face tonight, personally unseen in this gospel meeting, this man has all the power and authority, the capability to bring righteous judgment for every sin that has been committed. And listen to him now. He says, fear not those who can kill and afterwards they have nothing more that they can do. But I will tell you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell fire. I say unto you, fear him. In this present meeting tonight is the man who has authority, power, capability, the right cast souls into the fires of the lake of fire. My soul tonight, stop. Whatever else you're thinking about or have thought about today, fear him. You say it's really not becoming in this enlightened age of 2019 to talk about fear. Pardon me. I only have the authority of a living Christ to tell you, fear him, who has the power to cast both body and soul into the Gehenna of fire. Fear him. My soul in the meeting tonight, have you forgotten that there's a God whom you must meet? You cannot deceive him. You cannot somehow avert the all-knowing eye of the all-powerful Christ. Fear him. The priority of forgiveness, but the capability of forgiveness. How difficult was it for the Lord Jesus to forgive this man's sin? Well, just in this sense, he spoke the word, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. At what moment do you think that man's sins were forgiven? Would you like to guess? It's impossible for the Lord Jesus to say to that man, your sins are forgiven and the sins aren't forgiven. Until the Lord Jesus spoke, that man's sins were not forgiven. When the Lord Jesus spoke, those sins were forgiven. I want to tell you tonight that when we preach the gospel, we are preaching the power of the word of the living Christ. If you have his word for it, that your sins are forgiven, you have all the assurance you need. Forgiveness is by his word. And in case I need to add this, forgiveness is not by feelings that come from his word or that come from any other source. Forgiveness is by his word plus nothing. But more than that, let me tell you that while I have said it was just the power to speak the word and those sins were forgiven, the Savior said himself, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Wait a minute. Why did the Father command him to lay down his life? Ah, what a truth. This is the heart of the gospel. Without shedding of blood, no remission. Sins cannot be forgiven apart from the sacrifice, a sacrifice that God accepts, a sacrifice of sufficient value, that God is righteous to say to a guilty person, forgiven. That God might be just. And the justifier, we've been reminded of it in previous nights, that he might be righteous to speak a guilty person righteous before him. He does it on the basis of the sacrifice, the infinite value of the blood of his son. A propitiation, a meeting place, satisfying every claim of God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the power to forgive sins. One man is invested with the power to forgive sins. Why? Because on a cross outside Jerusalem, three men were impaled on a cross. Two were dying. One was living and had power to lay down his life. He was never dying. He willingly stepped into death in order that by death, of an infinite sacrifice, God would be declared righteous in all his judgment against sin, and God's righteous requirements would be satisfied. And if he made a world to honor his Father, he died at Calvary to honor the God, his Father, who was infinitely offended by a world of sin, of sinners past and sinners yet to come. And all the satisfaction of a holy God was met when he voluntarily laid down his life. Calvary was a voluntary act. Calvary, as we have been reminded, was an act of overwhelming love. Let me just tell you tonight that what thrills every believer's heart in this gathering tonight is this. I was not a faceless person at Calvary. The Savior knew me. I'm nobody. In the big picture of this world, the Savior knew me on that cross. He knew my sins, and he answered to God for David Oliver. You wonder why I love him? What did you say about it? It's a wonderful thing to have been died for. And all the more when I realize who that person was that died for me at Calvary, the eternal Son of God. The one who spoke world into existence. The one of innocence. No, I was going to say innocence. The one of holiness, of purity. Bore the sin he hated
with the extremity of pain that will never be understood by human minds. Because anything less than that would not have given me the forgiveness of sins. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Justly, righteously, because he had the power to lay down his life. And thank God he had the power to take it up again. A living Christ, accompanying the message of the gospel in all the power of his person, we're preaching tonight. A living, vibrant, loving, waiting Savior in this meeting this evening. But just a minute, let me ask you to just think of this scene one more time. So when you think about the concern that's expressed at this scene, you think of the concern of four men, right? I love this. Now, I don't know exactly whether they were more concerned about his sickness or his soul, but I know this, they were concerned about it. And they knew that there was only one place to take this man. And so they're going to go to Capernaum, walk up the little street to the little home. There's too many people. No way to get them in there. Let's go home. Maybe there's another day we can do this. Not these men. And I've got a little imagination, and I see one of the men look at the other men. And he says, guess we better go up the roof and move the tiles around and see where Jesus is and just let him right down, right there. Nothing is going to stop these men from getting this one man to Christ. Oh, God, give me the passion that these men had. Let nothing stand in the way. Bring these men, this man to Christ. They were concerned. And then you have the Pharisees. And they've got their religion on. Starchy, stiff. And the problem with this whole thing is this man says he can forgive sins. Do they care about this man? They're like the Levite and the priest that walked by the man on the Jericho road. And then there's a Savior. How much did he care about this man? He's teaching the crowd that's there. Now, I probably, like, if you interrupted me, I'd lose my train of thought. And I would struggle as much as I can to let me keep on going here. In an instant, the Savior stops everything. Son, be good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to tell you that Savior knew the cost of that. He knew exactly what it would cost him at Calvary to pay the mighty debt of sin. No hesitation. A loving, living Christ. The priority, the love, the compassion of his heart, the passion of his heart to forgive sin. But let me just look at one thing in closing. And that is the responsibility of forgiveness. So if the Lord Jesus can say to this man, your sins are forgiven, why didn't he say, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven? Why didn't he just say, everybody's sins are forgiven? But whatever the case, everybody's sins are forgiven. He has the power to forgive sins. God has given man a will, and God never negates the will of an individual. Well, you say, he just said to this man, no questions asked, your sin be forgiven. Just a minute, don't forget, he knew. Just a little hint, a little hint. Why did he say, be of good cheer? You are now no longer paralyzed. He said, be of good cheer. Because the thing that was on that man's mind, more than his friend's mind, perhaps,
That man was more interested in getting forgiveness than he was in getting healing.
Be of good cheer.
What you're looking for is yours. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. I would remind you tonight that God does not take away personal responsibility from anyone. You have a choice. And the forgiveness of sins, be it known unto you therefore, this is Paul preaching, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all who believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Here is forgiveness, and there is present a man who is ready and able and longs to forgive you. The question is tonight, how important is forgiveness to you? Would it be something it would be nice to have just at the second you know you were going to die? Well, by all means, don't get to that moment without it. But why not live life now with the ultimate joy of sins forgiven? Why not enjoy this Savior, this living Savior who is present with us? Oh, my soul, tonight. There is a Savior who, by his word, is willing to give you the assurance to every soul who trusts him. Just let me add one other scripture to this. The Lord Jesus speaks about his power as he's talking to his Father in John 17. And he says, thou hast given unto him, to me, the power over all flesh to give to them eternal life. Now, if you know the Gospel of John, you know that the Gospel of John is all about eternal life. Paul John says, this is the reason I've written it, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John's gospel makes it very clear that the one who has power to give eternal life gives it to those who trust him for salvation. In the meeting this evening, with a Savior who has power to forgive sin, will you leave this meeting without receiving his word, trusting him and receiving his word, thy sins are forgiven you. Oh, what a blessing. The mighty power. Because of what was purchased, as only one man could do at Calvary, you have tonight this priority available to you. Trust him and receive the forgiveness of every sin.